Okay, Alexander, we had the Zurich meeting between Sullivan and Yang, the United States and China. Axios has reported that both sides found the meeting constructive, and they have even agreed to a virtual summit between Biden and Xi. A date has not been firmed up yet, but it will be sometime around the end of the year, maybe towards the new year. Once again, Axios is touting this as a kind of breakthrough in relations between the Biden White House and Beijing, and that they've kind of, you know, found a new way to get along, a new way to constructively iron out their differences. What do you make of the results of the Zurich meeting?
I take the diametrically opposite view. Now, Axios and much of the American media has been putting a positive spin on this meeting, just as they always put a positive spin on anything that this administration does. If you look elsewhere and you look at what the Chinese media is saying, they are much more negative about it. On the contrary, they are talking about a divergence and also a deadlock. And in the run-up to the meeting, they were saying that relations between the United States and China are in stalemate. Now, it's not difficult to understand what the problem is when you actually go and look at the readouts that the two governments have published about this meeting. Because in the American readout, you get Sullivan talking about all kinds of issues and problems and lecturing the Chinese about them. He wants to talk about the situation in Western China. He wants to talk about Taiwan, Hong Kong, you name it, human rights, whatever. And he still insists that China is a competitor. And he says he apparently makes no concessions whatsoever. And the Chinese, for their part, they say that they push back on all of these comments. And they are very frustrated about the fact that the United States still sees them as an adversary and doesn't appear to be prepared to work on them in some ways. Well, I think on that I have less sympathy with the Chinese. I think the fact is they need to accept the fact that the US and China are adversaries. But above all, I think what they're mostly concerned about, and this is the key issue, is that the United States showed no willingness to change its policies on all the major divergent issues between China and the United States, the political ones, the strategic ones, of which the most important by far is Taiwan. So there's no real meeting of minds. And though the American media is talking about a virtual summit meeting between Biden and Xi, the Chinese media is not. They have made no comment about that. There's nothing about that in the readouts. We know that Biden has been pushing hard for such a summit meeting with Xi. He actually wanted an in-person, physical, one-to-one summit meeting. He asked Xi Jinping for a summit meeting like that when they had the telephone conversation 2 weeks ago. When Xi simply failed to respond, he offered a virtual meeting instead. And again, Xi failed to respond. And it's clear the Americans asked for one again. And the Chinese, it seems, are being non-committal. At the moment, the Americans are frantically spinning this to make it look as if there is going to be such a summit meeting. I think there will be, but at the moment, the Chinese are playing hard to get.
Axios says that the discussion involved a genuine back and forth that prompted the Chinese side to finally move beyond their talking points, which the U.S. had viewed as a challenge in previous lower-level talks. The Axios description of the meeting actually paints to a China kind of backing down and stepping away from their rhetoric. Do you buy that?
No, not in the least, not in the slightest. And I should say the Chinese media take exactly the opposite line. They're saying, on the contrary, that China's stuck to its guns, and that when they say a back and forth, that means an argument. And by the way, this meeting lasted for 6 hours, so it doesn't look as if it was an easy meeting at all. So I don't get the sense that there was any movement on the Chinese side. Whether there will be from the American side, we will see. But at the moment, my own impression was deadlock.
There's various news outlets as well, Alexander, that are saying Biden has agreed to the Chinese demands on Taiwan. Is that true?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, can I just say, the Chinese official news agency said that Sullivan, at this meeting with Yang, publicly support, told the Chinese that the United States will abide by the One China policy. And the Chinese also said that Biden said the same thing when he spoke to Xi Jinping 2 weeks ago. But if you read the readouts that the Americans have published at these talks, there is no mention of the One China policy there. On the contrary, Tony Blinken, who of course wasn't at this meeting, but he was elsewhere talking with other people, including Sergei Lavrov of Russia, by the way, he continues to speak of Taiwan as an ally of the United States, which would imply that Taiwan is an independent country and therefore undermines, at least from a Chinese perspective, the One China policy. So I don't think the Chinese have made any concessions. I think the Americans, in fact, are engaging in wishful thinking.
Do you see the situation in Taiwan worsening, Alexander? Because once again, I'm going to refer back to the Axios summation of the meeting. And they say that that recent worrying trends, this is the final paragraph in that summation, recent worrying trends in the U.S.-China relationship loomed large. Taiwan's defense minister warned that military tensions with China are at their worst in four decades after Beijing flew a record 148 warplanes near the island's airspace over 4 days. I mean, are things going from bad to worse?
Well, yes, and I think that this kind of meeting is not going to make them better, because to the extent that one's able to get a sense of what happened at this meeting, I don't think the Americans, or at least Sullivan, really has understood what the Chinese are trying to convey to him and to the Americans about Taiwan. Now, to be very clear, what the Chinese are saying, and I think this is an important point to make clear, they're not saying that they want to invade Taiwan or that they want to invade Taiwan tomorrow. They're not demanding that Taiwan be handed over to them on a plate, as some people I know think. That's not what the Chinese are saying. They know the United States can't do that. But what they want to see from the United States is to see the United States back off from giving what the Chinese see as a blank check to the government in Taipei, in Taiwan, as it pushes for independence from China. And that's the source, from China's perspective, of all the tension. And unless and until the United States comes out publicly and says that it fully supports the One China policy, which in effect means that it doesn't support independence of Taiwan from China, then relations between China and the United States are going to continue to deteriorate. What the Americans are trying to do is that they're trying to pull a fast one on the Chinese. They meet with Chinese officials. Biden had that telephone call with Xi Jinping. Sullivan had this conversation with Yang Jiechi, in which they say that, yes, the United States abides by the One China policy. But then they don't confirm that in their public statements, and they continue to act as if, in practice, they're not actually abiding by that policy at all. Now, you know, whatever you may think of China, whatever you may think of the Chinese government, they are not stupid people. And they can see that the United States, or at least this administration, is trying to play a game with them. And that's not a clever or wise thing to do with a government like the government of China, a government which is so invested on the issue of Taiwan. So I think that this is going to make the situation worse. Now, to be clear, I don't think there's going to be a war. I think at some point the penny's going to drop. And when people do understand in Washington that the Chinese are in deadly earnest about what they're saying, I think you will see the US starting to back off and back down on Taiwan in much the way that the Chinese want. And I suspect that the Chinese are going to use this idea of a summit meeting between Biden and Xi as a bait to try and move the Americans in that direction. But to be very clear about it, we are not at that point now. This meeting has probably made matters worse rather than better. And until that moment comes when, as I said, some people in Washington finally understand that this is a dangerous and unwise game that they're playing, I think the situation is going to get worse. Now, can I say again, it's a point we've made many times now on many programs, what you're seeing here is the amateurism of the people who run US policy, thinking that you can say one thing to the Chinese in private and another thing about the Chinese in public and about Taiwan in public, and that the Chinese will go away and assume that what they're being told in private is true and will simply ignore what is being said by the US in public. Amateurs might think like that. Professionals know better.
Yeah, but okay. The Biden White House, I agree with you. I don't think they're going to be able to resolve much because they are amateurs and they're way out of their depth. But what does medium long term, what does the US do in this situation? Because they can't recognize the One China policy. I can't see an administration in the U.S. actually going with that, because that would be a political suicide, domestic political suicide. So what does the U.S. do? And what does Taiwan do?
Well, of course, the United States officially recognized and accepted the One China policy back in the 1970s. And it has adhered to it publicly, or at least officially, ever since. So what the Chinese want is for the United States to reaffirm the policy that the United States is already technically committed to. But the problem is that, of course, as you absolutely rightly say, the political problems now of doing that in the United States are immense, and they're becoming worse by the day, partly because this administration isn't able to do the sort of things which the Nixon-Kissinger administration, say, for all its faults, was prepared to do back in the 1970s, and say, well, look, there's only a limit to what we can do. The Pentagon tells us they can't defend Taiwan, and a war between China and ourselves would be a disaster. They are able to come along to the American people and say that, because their political position in Washington is so fragile and is disintegrating. Now, what they're going to do in this situation, I'm not entirely sure, but I'm going to make one guess about one thing they might be able to do, which I think could calm tensions, but might not land them in too much political difficulty at home. And that is that they might decide to suspend further arms sales to Taiwan. They'd have to see through this $750 million contract that they made with Taiwan, which, I think it's impossible politically to turn back on it. But I think they could give the Chinese, and they could say that, you know, that's the last payment, that the supply of arms like that, that they're going to make to Taiwan for the foreseeable future, and that they don't plan on making any more. They would still come in for some criticism, but I think that would be manageable. And I think if they did that, I think that would calm tensions between China and the United States at this time.
And Taiwan, what does Taiwan do?
Well, what does Taiwan do? And I think this is perhaps the most difficult part of it, because, of course, Taiwan is in a way caught between a rock and a hard place, because clearly there are a lot of people in Taiwan who do want it to be independent from China. But I'm a realist. I come from a country, Greece, which has long had to be realistic about its options and about its foreign policies. I think Taiwan, the leadership, the people in Taiwan need to understand that the United States ultimately is not going to come to their rescue in a showdown, and that the optimal position from them is to return to the status quo that existed a few years ago. This is that Taiwan is, to all intents and purposes, an independent country. It has its own economy, its own political system, its own trading and commercial system, in which it is extremely successful. It doesn't recognise the government in Beijing as its own government, but it continues to accept the fact that Taiwan is a part of China, and it continues to seek good economic and commercial relations with China. That was the situation that existed a few years ago. China says it would accept that. It doesn't expect Taiwan to immediately reunify with China. But if the Taiwanese are prepared to go back to that and say that they're not seeking secession from China at this time, independence from China at this time, I think that would go a long way to calming the situation. And I think it would be better in the long term for Taiwan. That is a bitter pill for the people of Taiwan to accept, or some people in Taiwan to accept. But sometimes it's better to swallow a bitter pill and be realistic about it and make the best of your future. And Taiwan has shown extraordinary ability in doing that. It's become a very prosperous and very successful place. Rather than put everything at risk by going for broke in reliance upon an American guarantee, which may not be fulfilled and which I believe won't be.
That was the status quo how many years ago? I mean, I just want to clarify. This is how things were a few...
Four or five years ago. We're not talking back very far in time. Well, I'm going to say a few things. I think, firstly, the growing tensions between the United States and China, which made some people in Taiwan think that, you know, this might be their chance. They could leverage this tension to try and gain overall and complete independence from China. And I think also alarm about what happened in Hong Kong and worry that a one China, a one state, two systems solution isn't a practical one, because if you do acknowledge Chinese sovereignty and the, you know, the authority of the Beijing government, then you're going to find yourself ultimately in a situation where China will take it all. I don't think that's an illegitimate fear, by the way. I think that is a fully legitimate one. But at the moment, China isn't asking that Taiwan place itself in the same position with respect to China as Hong Kong is. And I think that at the moment, the Chinese would settle for less. Because to be very clear about this, I think the Chinese... I mean, for all kinds of domestic reasons, would have to react if Taiwan declared independence, and that might lead to a war. But I don't think the Chinese want a war over Taiwan. I don't see what they would gain from it. I mean, they would no doubt win in a kind of way. They would capture Taiwan. But there would be all kinds of enormous costs for China in the short and medium term, which is, I'm sure, they're not looking for. I don't see that anybody gains from a war over Taiwan. I don't see China gains. I certainly don't see how the United States gains, given that the Pentagon itself thinks that in such a war, the US would either lose or have to go nuclear. And I don't see what Taiwan gains either. So given that this is so, and given that there is this room, this space for returning to something like the status quo of 4 to 5 years ago, I think that's probably the best solution for all concerned. I would say again that at the end of it, the US-China relationship will remain adversarial. I mean, that's the days of Chimerica, of the China and the United States being partners and working together economically, are gone forever. And many Americans will applaud that and say that's a good thing. We've seen our industrial base destroyed as a result. So I think they will remain adversaries, but at least they will be able to avoid a war. And that, it seems to me, is the key problem.
All right, we will leave it there. Go to theduran.locals.com. You'll find a link for that underneath this video down below. Go to our new media platforms, Odyssey, BitChute, Rumble, SuperU, where we post all our videos. And Alexander, 10% off when you use the code REALNEWS at the Duran shop.
Absolutely.
All right. What flag is that, by the way?
Oh, I think it's... No, I can't see very well because I haven't got my glasses there. But I think it's... No, I think it could be Italy, but I'm not absolutely
Italy,
sure.
Yeah,
oh,
okay.
God. It is Italy. It is Italy. Right. Oh, there it is. Okay, there you go. Okay, but yes, our viewers can probably see better.
Okay. All right, everybody, you'll find 10% off. Use the code RealNewsDirectShop. Take care.